Welcome, and thanks for joining us for this episode of the C3 Church Podcast. You're about to listen into a message from one of our gatherings. To find out more about our community, where we gather both in person and online, and how to get involved, head to c3church.ca. Now, let's listen into a message from a recent service.
I feel slightly overdressed for the occasion today. I thought somebody else might have dressed up, but I do like wearing suits, and now that I can't wear them in church anymore, I have to make up reasons to wear them. So I see Rick's got is that a sport coat? Oh, no, it's a sweater. From here, it looks like a sports coat, so you're looking better than you really are. No, I'm kidding. You're looking great. You're looking great. It's good. So good to be together and to celebrate Jesus' resurrection. And I want to talk about the resurrection, not so much from a historical perspective, but I really want to talk about what that really means for each of us today. See, the thing is that we've got to realize is that there's Good Friday and then there's Resurrection Sunday, right? But Good Friday had to happen for Resurrection Sunday to take place. See, some things have to die in order for some things to live. And in our lives, it's exactly the same. Some things have to die so that we can live. I started a while ago wearing a cross. You can see I'm wearing a cross. I decided I was tired of everybody else being able to wear their religious symbols out in the gym and all that kind of stuff. And I said, when I go into the gym, I know who's a practicing Sikh. I have the turban on. I went, nobody knows that I'm going to start wearing this just so people know. I had a funny conversation with one of the guys in our apartment building. We're having a conversation and, mixed in among the swearing and the smoking and all the rest of that stuff. And he finally said, talking about, being nice to somebody, he said, well, just saying honestly, Christian to Christian. And I went, how did you know I was a Christian? No, I didn't say that. But I think there was in the early church there were some obvious signs that you were a believer. They did that, and I think it's time to bring some of that back. I think it's important. We don't want to be afraid or ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God for our salvation today. I want to talk today about the fact that some things have to die in order for some things to live, and I want to take you to the book of Romans. I thought maybe Clayton was going to take some of my scripture this morning. Great job this morning, Clayton. That was awesome. Great, great revelation. So good. Love that. We're going to look at Romans chapter 6, verse 1 to 7. Then we're going to come back and visit verse 4 again. In the New International Version, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in his death like this, in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. There is a truth in this passage I want to get. Paul's trying to emphasize something to us. He's saying that when we've identified with Christ, when we've looked to Jesus for his faithfulness, there is a very practical and literal sense in which when Jesus died on the cross, we died with him. And when he rose from the dead, we rose with him. That there is I almost want to say metaphysical, but a spiritual sense of today we don't walk in an old way of living. We walk in a new way of living because we have died with Christ, so we live with Christ. So when we look at Good Friday, it was our Good Friday. When we look at Resurrection Sunday, it's our Resurrection Sunday. That there is this thing, and of course we did this last series talking about Christology, but there's this thing that Jesus shows us how to be him. And when all the promises and all the things that God speaks about to Jesus, we need to see ourselves in that, because God showed us himself through Jesus. So when we look at the resurrection, we just want to understand that God has done something incredible. We've died to sin to live again. But the reality is some things in our life need to die so that we can, some things can live. We're supposed to live in the continual resurrection power. In Romans chapter 6, same passage we already have, but verse 4. Chapter 6, verse 4, in the New American Standard Version, it describes it a little differently. It says, therefore, we've been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. The NIV says in new life, but the NASB says in newness of life. And if you look into the language a little bit, what you'll discover there is that Paul's actually trying to emphasize the new over the life. He's trying to say that the fact that it's new, there's something new, there's a newness in your life. I'll tell you what, change and newness should be a characteristic of us as believers. The blessings, the mercies of the Lord are new every morning, Scripture says. We should look towards the new things because that's what our life is, new. Newness. We see new things, not just excited about getting things, but seeing new life. We look forward to spring, seeing new plants growing up. I drove by a KLO road today, and I saw that Byman's has opened up a nursery on this side. It's about to open, and I thought, what's going to be? Because across the road, there's the KLO market, and their sign says December 24th is our last day. With all the produce, I thought, and it just got me thinking. I thought, well, they're you know, shut down because they don't have any products. And here, Byman's across the street, they're going to open up. Why? Because Byman's is about newness. It's a nursery where we go to get our plants that we can put in the ground because we're expecting a crop. Kim and I don't plant anything because we never expect a crop because we just don't have green thumbs. But the fact is, we still get plants because we look forward to that newness. We look out the trees and we look forward to the trees starting to blossom. I like to look out my door and say, I'm glad I'm not going to see brown trees anymore. I'm going to start seeing green trees again. Because we are oriented toward newness because of the resurrection. We look forward to the new. We get excited. We even go get your car washed, and when they ask you what aroma do you want in your car, I always pick new. I always pick new because I want my car to smell like a new car. God, there's something about newness that's there for us that God wants to do. And so Paul kind of emphasizes this whole idea of newness with us. As we look at some of the things this morning and I want to bring five things this morning that need to die in order for us to live. I want you to think about this. Has anybody ever said to you, hey, your behavior is out of character? Or maybe you've said that to somebody else. Said, you know, that behavior is out of character. This is out of character for them. Anybody had that happen? Away from me. Most of us. Out of character. What happens when we act out of character? Somebody needs to remind us of what our character is. There's a guy by the name of Jim Wilder. He wrote a book called The Other Half of Church. And in this, he talks about some of their small groups. And he says, we are a people who remind each other who we really are whenever we forget. And what I want to do today is I want to remind you who you are, that we're not, that we've died to this so that we can live in this. All right? So here's some things that need to die for others to live. The first one is this, and we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 and verse 19. Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus, and I need to give you a little background on the church in Ephesus because Ephesus was a Roman city, but Ephesus was unique in the fact that it kind of had a particularly high status as a Roman city. It's called the imperial cult, or the fact that they had developed this tendency to worship the Caesars as God. And Ephesus was one of the first places that erected a temple to one of the Caesars. And so the idea of citizenship and the idea of being part of a kingdom was really, really a big deal if you lived in Ephesus. You identified really quickly. You were a Roman citizen. In fact, there's a historical document that allowed Jewish citizens, only if they were citizens, but Jewish citizens, Jewish Roman citizens, to be exempt from war because of their practices. So citizenship was a really, really big thing. And so Paul writes this in Ephesians. He writes this to the Ephesians. He went, being a citizen's a big deal. And so he's talking to people in that context, and he says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 and 19, he says, remember that at the time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel. They would have went, yeah. And foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. And then in verse 19 he says, but consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household. Here's what I want you to hear in this. When we come into relationship with Jesus, our earthly citizenship dies so our heavenly citizenship can exist. I'm going to kind of talk about some things that maybe are kind of current for us. There's a lot of church and politics that get mixed up. And you know what? We live in a world where there's politics. The Ephesians had a political world. But what we need to understand is that our earthly citizenship, because of Christ's death and resurrection, our earthly citizenship becomes secondary to our heavenly citizenship. I remember talking to somebody or hearing somebody talk about their citizenship this way and their Christianity this way. They had moved from another country to Canada, and there was a lot of kind of behavior that's typical of different cultures. How many of you know that Canadians behave in a certain way? Typically. I go to school with a bunch of Americans, and they get no end of delight in trying to pretend like they know what Canadian slang is. And to no end of trying to, and every once in a while I slip up and I actually give them some that they don't understand. Usually I'm pretty sensitive. But there's some other habits that come along, or cultural things that come along, whether that's being late, or whether that's being polite, or whether that's not telling the truth because we're being too polite to hurt people, that we have that. And this friend who had come from another country, we were talking about the fact that there were others, same nationality as him, and they were constantly late. And he said, well, you know what, when I became a Christian, I learned that I was a Christian first and then my nationality second. Well, I'm a Canadian. I think we should start calling ourselves Christian Canadians instead of Canadian Christians. My first citizenship is in heaven. My first obligation, my first citizenship is in heaven. That's why unity in the body of Christ is an attainable goal when it's not outside in the world. Because when we come together here, we have people here from all sorts of different nations where you were born and you may have had a natural citizenship. But when we come in here, we're not coming in as citizens of South Africa or of Germany, or of that nation down south of us, or of the Ukraine, or of Australia, or of Canada. We're coming in together as citizens of heaven. And when you're citizens of heaven, that changes everything. Oh yeah, I have another citizenship too, but that's the secondary one. My passport that I travel on is the citizenship of heaven. And when we get that, it opens up the reality that we can have unity in the body of Christ. There's a unity that supersedes nationalism. Earthly citizenship has to die so that heavenly citizenship can live. I'm going to get in trouble here. A lot of trouble. But I'm wearing a suit, so it'll be okay. Right? So our citizenship in heaven holds a higher priority than our citizenship on earth. And we need to keep that in mind, because as we live in a global world, we a lot of times get very individualized and very localized. Sometimes we think that the way we live our lives is the only way Christians live their lives all around the world. During the COVID pandemic, I used to hear people say, well, you know, we're being persecuted for our faith. And I go, you need to talk to someone who's actually persecuted for their faith. I'm not a citizen of this country. I'm a citizen of heaven, and stuff happens. It's different. See, you know, I'm poor. Folks, you need to talk to somebody who's actually poor. And living in poverty, that's not, we have such a privileged view of the world from our secondary citizenship, but we need to more closely align with our heavenly citizenship. Why do you think Jesus talks about, or how he talks about, when you minister to one of the least of these, you minister to me? Because that's the kingdom. Why he would say, blessed are those who are poor in the book of Luke, because that's the kingdom of God. And that's our citizenship. When one part of the body rejoices, the whole party rejoices. When one part of the body is in pain, the whole body is in pain. There is something about dying to our earthly citizenship so that we can celebrate our heavenly citizenship that is a lot bigger than we realize. Some things must die for others to live. The second thing is, earthly priorities need to die in order that heavenly priorities can live. When we die to earthly priorities, we take a longer view of life. I'm amazed how many times I read in Scripture when it talks about things in terms of generations instead of lifespan. God is a generational God. I need to live my life. I want to live my life in thinking about how that affects not just my grandchildren, but my great-grandchildren and generations beyond me. In our Western world, we tend to think about, what do I get in my lifetime? What do I achieve in my lifetime? When we talk about legacy, we go, how do people remember me? Not how have I affected those who are five generations from me? And our priorities are different on earth than they are with the heavenly mindset. When that earthly priority dies and we pick up a heavenly priority, we look longer term. We see eternally. We see God working long time. We don't get upset because God didn't answer my prayer as fast as my microwave works. We don't get upset because we see a short term. I'm living with a promise, and my wife and I have talked about this. I'm living with a promise right now with God that he said to me, and this is what I felt for God. It's going to happen, but you may never see it. That is a conflicted promise with an earthly priority, because if it's a promise, I should be able to see it. And yet God speaks of Abraham and says Abraham died never having seen the city he was looking for. Our earthly priorities are so short-term and temporal. And I believe that those are one of the things that need to die so that we can see things from a God perspective, longer-term perspective, knowing that seed I'm planting in somebody's life, just because it doesn't bear fruit in 2 weeks' time, doesn't mean it's good, not good seed. I've got some bad news for you. You're probably not going to be perfect while you're still living here on earth. You might be striving for it, you might be working for it, but probably not going to happen. And so we need to take a long view of the game. And not saying that this doesn't matter because it won't end up being me being perfect. This does matter because it has eternal consequences, has eternal effect. That's why Christianity is so different than many other things, is because there's a morality attached that doesn't give us personal benefit. Because there's an eternal benefit. What else must die so for other things to live? Some things die. Earthly wisdom dies so heavenly wisdom can live. James talks about this in James chapter 3. He says, in verse 14 to 18, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition, let's maybe just stop there. Bitter envy and selfish ambition. Have anybody seen that on the news lately? Any personalities demonstrating that? Maybe at work, we call it office politics. Any of those kinds of things that are there. Here's what James says, don't boast about it or deny the truth. Such, in quotes, wisdom does not come down from heaven, but it's earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. I don't know the last time I preached a message on bitter envy and selfish ambition. I think because I probably preached some messages on being ambitious. But there's a difference between selfish ambition and being ambitious. I'm ambitious for other people. I'm ambitious for the kingdom of God. I'm ambitious for God's way, but not because it makes me feel better. The problem is we're so broken, aren't we? And we just have this hard time being ambitious and being successful without feeling like we need to get some reward from that. But as we die to that, here's what James goes on to say in verse 16, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, peace-loving, considerate. I don't know how many times I've said to my wife, it feels like nobody's considerate. But that's not an excuse for me not to be. Right? We sometimes let everything around us give us an excuse to behave in a way that we wouldn't, and we just need to be reminded that's out of character. You're not being very considerate. That's out of character. I'm living resurrection life. I'm a considerate person. I'm living resurrection life. I'm a submissive. I'm full of mercy. Well, they got what they deserved. I don't know. That doesn't sound like full of mercy to me. But that's percolated in my heart a few times. Full confession. We live in an apartment complex. There's a loading zone right outside my deck. I'm on the third floor and I look down. There's a loading zone, and I'll tell you what. There's somebody that's been parking there for 2 days. It says 15 minutes. And I really want him to get towed, and I'm wrestling with this verse right now. I am. Because I know inside of me, I want that guy to get what he should have. Woman, guy, I'm completely, you know, it could be either. It doesn't matter. But they need to get what's coming to them, and that's towed. It says right there, don't park here, you'll be towed. And I want that right. I'm justice. I'm oriented that way. But this problem here is that it says full of mercy. It doesn't say three-quarters full of mercy. Right, that should mark us as different, living resurrection life full of mercy. That's where wisdom comes. That's heavenly wisdom. Well, wisdom, being full of mercy, that doesn't seem like it's very wise. Letting people get away or being merciful to people and forgiving them, it doesn't seem very... But it seems to me a couple weeks ago I talked about something like forgiveness that was related to that. Mercy. Full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Wow. Wow. Wisdom from above is a lot different from the wisdom that circulates in our world. But some things have to die in order for resurrection life to be living in us. Let me remind you who you are. Let me remind you of your character. So when we act out of character, somebody says, hey, that's not really you. What else must die? I got two things real quick. Some things must die for others. Earthly desires die so that heavenly desires can live. Really, that's just a simple matter of focus, isn't it? Earthly desires or heavenly desires? Where am I emphasizing? Where am I putting my focus? I was thinking about something early this week, and just along this lines, I was thinking about how in our Western world right now, we've, in general, culture has kind of changed how we look at Easter. And I don't even mean Easter eggs and Easter bunnies. Easter was, for the first three centuries, I've already said, for the first three centuries, it was the only festival that the early church celebrated for 300 years, three centuries. But now if you talk to somebody, and not just people that aren't believers, but even in church, you'd say, what's Easter? Well, Easter's a family time. Actually, Easter's not a family time. Easter's a kingdom thing. Probably going to get in trouble out of this one, but it's okay. I'm got broad shoulders today. I got this extra padding on here. We have to be really careful that we don't make family an idol in our world when God is supposed to be our God. And I see it comes a lot of times that we make family it, but that's a short-term earthly priority. And we need to shift our priority to heavenly things. Earthly desires die so that heavenly desires can live. Last thing, sin dies so freedom can live. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Let me just say this to you today. Some of us, maybe there's this sin that we just feel like we're just never going to get over. We're just always fighting this thing. I always lie. I don't know why. I just always do this. I always do that. I want you to know something today. That's out of character. I don't want you to feel hopeless in that, helpless in that. Like Pastor Phil was talking about, resurrection life means something. There are sometimes some things in our life where we just simply feel like I'm stuck in this. I can't get past this. I want you to know that the resurrection life today is the guarantee that you can get past that, that you're not going to be stuck in that, that that is not your state of life for the remainder of your life. You can get beyond that. You already are already beyond that, and I'm just reminding you of that today. We don't live for ourselves, we don't live for our own gratification, but we live for a higher calling. Resurrection. Jesus' resurrection is the thing that just pulls us forward. I was 12 years old when my dad's mom passed away, my grandmother. And before she passed away, my grandfather passed away. They were in their early 80s. My dad was one of the younger kids, so I was quite a bit younger than my other cousins. But I always felt I was their favorite. Actually, most of my life, I feel like I'm somebody's favorite. So, but I remember, you know, my grandmother, she'd had 13 kids. And of that, several of them had died as children. Some had died in young adulthood. And so at that point in time, out of the 13 kids, seven of them had passed away. I remember talking to my grandma. Before she passed away, my grandfather passed away in February, she passed away in May. And I remember talking to her and after Grandpa died, and she's saying, her telling me, she's saying, he has more of the kids now than I do. He's in heaven, he's got the seven there, and I've only got the six here. But what struck me about that and what continues to strike me about that is it was a different perspective. It was a future perspective. It was a heaven perspective. It was a different way of living when heaven's on my mind. It changes everything. We celebrate Jesus rising from the dead, but we have to remember he didn't just rise from the dead. He went on, ascended to be right next to the Father. Resurrection is where we live now, but the goal is right there with Jesus. That's where we're going. We're not there yet, but we're alive. But we're going there. This Resurrection Sunday, this Easter Sunday, I want to remind you of who you are. Alive in Christ, overcomer, citizens of a heavenly kingdom, living with heavenly wisdom, not earthly wisdom. That's who you are.
Thanks for tuning in today. Each week, we gather in cities across our region and online to explore the truth of freedom available to all in the message of Jesus Christ. To find a gathering near you or to find out more, head to c3church.ca.